Are you working on your author career but struggling to get that first book published? Does the goal of being an author seem too lofty? Or are thoughts of having multiple books and making a full-time living are as fantastical as living in Cinderella's castle? Welcome to Discovered Wordsmiths, a podcast where aspiring authors can be heard. Join Stephen Schneider as he finds and talks to authors you may not know, but authors that have gotten their foot on the author career path. Hear what they've done to get there and where they want to go now. Settle back. It's time for a bit of inspiration and advice. Come listen to today's Discovered Wordsmith.
Today, I'm talking to Lori Douglas, who has written a YA fiction book called The Uncommon Thread. It has some elements of fantasy, some elements of sci-fi. It sounds like a very exciting book. I hope you enjoy this interview with Lori. Check her out. Check out her book. If these are the types of books you like, let her know you heard her on Discovered Wordsmith. Let other authors know if they're interested in an interview. Give us a review. It would really help a lot. I hope you've been finding some authors and books that you really enjoy. So without any further ado, here's Lori. All right. Well, Lori, thank you for taking some time today to talk to me. I do appreciate it. Welcome to the podcast.
Sure.
Why don't we get started? Tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, a bit about your background.
Okay. Well, I was raised in a military family, so I grew up moving around a lot. I never quite know how to answer the question, where are you from?
But, from the military. That's
yeah, we were stationed a couple times overseas, which kind of gave me a love of different cultures, which I try to insert into my books. And until about 5 years ago, I worked in healthcare administration and patient advocacy, which I did for more years than I would like to say. Yeah.
So maybe not where you're from, but where are you now?
Oh, I'm in Clarksburg, Maryland. My husband and I lived for a little while in Virginia, and then we moved to Maryland because of his job. And prior to that, lived in the corners of the U.S., I like to say, the Alaska and Florida.
Oh, nice.
So we're currently thinking about moving further north so that we can get more snow.
I don't disagree. I do like snow.
Yeah.
I lived in San Diego for a while and actually missed having various weather.
Oh, where are you now?
Ohio, Northeast Ohio.
Oh, okay. My husband's from Ohio.
Oh, yeah, I like it. I've lived here my whole life, mostly. Mm-hmm. So besides writing, what are some of your hobbies, things you like to do?
Well, I love to cook. I especially love baking breads, and I sew, and I like to make quilts for people that reflect their interests or their personality.
Oh, nice.
And I have 4 grandchildren that I enjoy keeping in touch with. And I'm also a dog trainer and have a certified therapy dog that I take into hospitals and libraries and that kind of thing. So,
oh, that my daughter was thinking about that at one time. She may still want to, but we'll see. It sounds very fulfilling and rewarding to do that type of thing.
It is. It certainly is. And our dog is sort of made for that.
So. So what made you want to start writing?
I love storytelling. I probably got that from my mother, who was really my inspiration. She always encouraged me to use my imagination. She used to say, paint me a picture with words. And she just could just lose herself in telling a story, and I wanted to make stories come alive as she did. So it's kind of what gave me the spark, I think.
Nice. So you decided to do some writing. Tell us about your book. What's it called? What's it about?
It's called The Uncommon Thread. It's a story about the son of a tailor, right about the time he turns 18 and graduates from high school. And his name's Paddy Duncan. And he's faced with the decision of whether to carry on the family business, which he's sort of dreading, or to go his own way and fulfill his deep desire to sort of travel the world. And he's grown up listening to his grandfather's stories about these daring adventures in other countries. And he always thought his grandfather made up these stories. But when his grandfather is suddenly kidnapped, Paddy starts searching for him. And that search finally reveals that his grandfather is actually an international spy. So he keeps digging for answers, and he, over time, finds out his family is guarding a huge secret. Mostly, they're trying to keep it from a group of tailors who are actually criminals, and they've been enemies of the family for over 200 years. So the hero, Paddy, follows a series of codes and riddles left by his grandfather that lead him into a situation where he rescues someone else who's been kidnapped. And all of this gradually helps him realize that he'd rather live his life helping people, even if it means he has to do something really scary, like become a spy. So,
wow. So is this like a modern thriller, or is there some other genre you would say it fits into?
My editors really kind of pegged it into the young adult or new adult category, and also in adventure. I don't think it's a thriller. There's not a lot of violence. There's one, you know, fairly violent scene where someone dies, but other than that, it's more about science, actually, because the great mystery that the family's been trying to hide has its origins in science and the Earth's magnetic field, and then wrapped into all of that is tailoring, which of course came from my love of sewing. So it's a kind of hybrid.
So why, what made you choose to write a book like this rather than anything else, you know, a young adult action book? Was there a reason, or did it just seem to be the story you needed to tell?
Well, actually, at first I started out to write a preschool story.
Oh.
It was going to be accompanied by a quilt to help tell the story.
Nice.
It was going to have a little road on it and have little doors that opened and be interactive for very little ones. And as I continued thinking about what I wanted to write, I began researching topics that interested me, like electricity and astronomy and cryptography and espionage. And so my research is what really got me excited about starting to write this story. And over time, because of the content, my story evolved into one for a more of a young adult to adult audience. I'm still going to try to get back to that preschool book sometime.
Well, maybe you do like the young version, or, you know, the kids of these characters sometime or something.
Yeah, that would be good.
So you mentioned you have an editor. Are you traditionally published, or are you self-published?
I'm self-published.
And was that something you wanted to do, or were you trying to be traditionally published to start and decided to change, or what was your, I guess, path there?
I really wanted to self-publish all along. I wanted to own my own content. As I did my research in the beginning, I really I signed up with Joanna Penn and listened to a lot of her podcasts, and I really, her message of owning your content yourself and being able to change it if you want to, even after a book is published. I really like that idea because I'm a perfectionist. And so I decided to self-publish and never really tried the other way.
And what are some things you've learned with writing the book and self-publishing?
Oh, my goodness. I learned that being a good business writer does not mean that you can write a novel. I had to learn about story arcs and how to keep the plot moving. And I really needed to identify my theme, the theme of my book first. And in other words, the lesson the hero needs to learn over the course of the book. And I think the most difficult part for me was learning to cut out what was interesting to me, but didn't help keep my story moving. So needless to say, I'm working closely with an outline for book two.
Yes, I would agree that some things I think a lot of people don't understand and learn the hard way. And a lot of times authors fight it and don't want to learn that lesson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So was this the first story you wrote, or did you have other things you've written but decided they weren't quite up to publishing?
I wrote poetry off and on for years. I didn't publish any of it. I wrote a short fictional story for a class that I took in college, and I enjoyed it. And other than that, it was all business writing. So I never attempted to get anything published before. So this is a big jump for me.
So what has been the feedback for people that have read the book? What have they been saying to you about it?
Oh, I've been actually quite amazed. I've had some people really identify with the characters. And, you know, you can always tell when someone writes a review and they've really not only fully read it, but really enjoyed it. And I had a couple people say that they couldn't put it down and they were expecting to walk around the corner of their house and meet Patty. I actually got through Readzy Discovery, they featured my book as their selection for their adventure category and put it up in their newsletter. So far it's been well received. The sales have been pretty good. So it's tough when you have just one book out. You know, you really, really need to, sometimes your best marketing can be just working on book two, you know.
Right.
So that's kind of what I'm focusing on now. I ran a lot of Facebook and ads and got quite a good response through that. But I decided to step back from running ads and, you know, I've put my website up, and other than that, I posted it to Draft to Digital so I could get it on other platforms besides Amazon. And so it's out there on pretty much every platform now.
Well, that's what I was going to ask is what you're doing for marketing and getting the word out, but it sounds like you're doing some of the standard things. And I agree. I've heard the best advertising for your book is to write the next book, and that's what I'm working on myself too.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see how that goes, because I'd like to probably talk to you maybe in a year or so and see how things are going and how things have changed too. So that's something we could look forward to.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always good to have goals. So my goal is to get book two finished by April. I learned so much through having a developmental editor and a copy editor, a proofreader, that I really respect that process and being able to be open-minded about things they suggest and that sort of thing. So I want to leave myself plenty of time for that.
So are there any other things you've learned that you would do differently? Or maybe you are doing differently for the next year?
I would say that, well, it's actually a tool anyone can get. It's I don't even know how to describe it, but it's quite a silly title. Maybe everyone knows about it and I'm the only one who doesn't. But there's a book called Save the Cat Writes a Novel. Yeah. And I think it was originally written for script writers, and then someone changed it over for novel writing. And I think following that has just really changed everything for me, because I see the structure behind the story now as just as important as writing the actual manuscript. So I think that's what I'm doing differently. And I hope that once I get down to really finishing up the book, it will come together a lot easier.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people recommend that book. It's one I haven't read yet. I kind of hit that point where I seemed like all I was doing was buying new craft books and reading craft books instead of writing. So I do have some dust on a few that I haven't read yet.
Yeah, it's so easy to get overwhelmed by not only books, but webinars and everyone, you know, saying you need this class and that class. But the good thing about Save the Cat is that if you read only the first 25 to 30 pages, you would have everything you need. It's all condensed up in the front. I'm sure the rest of the book is great, but as far as your structure that you need, it's, you don't have to, you know, think, oh, another book, you know.
And I think worst for me is the ones I get digitally, it's easy to forget about them. So they kind of sit.
Yes, it is.
So when you're on writing, what software are you using?
I use Scrivener when I write, and I draft and finalize in Scrivener, and then I export it to Vellum and compile my manuscript there to get it ready for submission to online and print platforms. And then I use... I hire editors through Readsy, and I've gotten both my developmental editor, my copy editor, proofreader, as well as my cover designer through Readsy, and I've been really happy.
Yeah, I've used Readsy myself, and I agree. Good service, good people on there.
Uh-huh.
So... I assume, being a writer, most writers have some favorite books and authors. What are some of the books and authors you've read throughout your life that maybe inspired you to want to write?
Oh, I'm quite old-fashioned. I like the classics. I love the Tolkien books. Alexander Dumas, Count of Monte Cristo, Victor Hugo. I actually, in the book that I wrote, put lots and lots of references to classic literature, and it becomes part of the cryptography that my main character has to solve, because I wanted to really expose young people to those old books and so they don't fade away, you know. But as far as modern books, I really love the writing of Khaled Hosseini, who wrote Kite Runner, Thousand Splendid Sons, and I'm also enjoying T.M. Holliday and Emily King. They're kind of writing in the fantasy world, a lot of world building and out of this world building, which is really fun.
It's funny you say that about wanting to expose kids to the old classics. I agree. That's something I've been wanting to do a bit of too. And my first book I tried to write, because I write somewhere in the middle grade young adult
region. And the first book I wrote, one of my goals was to try and make the character a bit like MacGyver, so that way kids get exposed to that MacGyver.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't think chivalry has died. And if it's threatened, we need to revive it.
Yes, I don't disagree. Down where you live, do you have any favorite bookstores that you like to visit?
Well, yeah, I do, actually. I live in a very small town of Clarksburg. Doesn't have a grocery store. I think we might have two gas stations. It's very tiny. But we have a bookstore called Novel Books. And unfortunately, it's been hit really hard by COVID. And the owner is ill. So there's a GoFundMe page up to try to save the bookstore of Clarksburg so that it doesn't go out of business. It's in an old Victorian home, and it's just one of those things you don't want to go away.
Yeah, we've got a couple we know that are kind of like that. There's one in Columbus that's in the German Village, and it's a huge rambling home, and it's you can get lost in it. It's just almost like a maze in places.
Oh, I love those.
All right. Well, Lori, before we get going, any last words of advice to new authors out there?
Don't give up. there was one thing I remembered by Neil Gaiman. I took that master class that he offered, and he said, someone out there wants to read your book. And that really kept me going. You know, I thought, I'm the only one interested in things like electricity and trying to write that into a novel on espionage. And it just seems so weird of a book to write. But apparently that's true. Someone wants to read your book. So just holding on to that and keep seeing it through, I think, is a good thing to follow.
Great. Well, one more time, Lori, tell us the name of your book the name of your book and where we can find it. And if you have a website.
Sure. The name is The Uncommon Thread. My website is lauriedouglas.com, and it's Douglas with two S's. And you can really find it anywhere books are sold, pretty much. It's on Kobo, Apple, Amazon. It's on Goodreads, which puts it on about five other platforms. So pretty much anywhere you can find it.
Great. All right. Well, Lori, I appreciate you talking to me today and taking some time. Sure. Book sounds interesting. I wish you some luck on it.
Oh, thank you so much. And to you, too.
Thank you for listening to Discovered Wordsmiths. Come back next week and listen to another author discuss the road they've traveled, and maybe sometime in the near future, it might be you.